It's time for another episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur.
Another story.
Right.
Our employees, look, right now, especially low-wage earners are in a really good position if they get laid off or furloughed.
Yeah, they make more money.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a problem because they may not want to come back to work if they're making, you know, for the 4 months that they're getting that $600 supplement from the
benefits.
Are they going to want to come back and make less money, have to work and make less money working than they are staying home? It is crazy. But the other side of it as well is, isn't it better? Because that is going to run out eventually. Right now it's up to 39 weeks, but it's only 4 months for the with the supplement, the $600 supplement.
So 39 weeks is unemployment, and then the $600 supplement. Is that $600 a month or $600 a week?
A week.
Oh, wow. So it's another $2,400 a month.
Yes, exactly.
Or more, depending on the month.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. This is another COVID-19 coronavirus release. You're going to listen to me talking to my good friend Alex Rubin, who's an employment law attorney. We're going to discuss the employment issues that are facing both employers and employees during this pandemic situation. So enjoy the episode, and I hope that it's helpful to everyone.
So we want to spend some time talking about, for the people that are hopefully tuning in, I'll release this thing hopefully later in the week.
Okay.
About, you know, everybody's asking me, like, as an employer, what do you do during the whole coronavirus thing? What are your exposures? And what are, you know, things you have to worry about as an employee? But before we start that, we should say who you are. Besides my very good friend, Alex Rubin, you are also probably the one of the most talented employment law attorneys that I know in New Jersey. I'm just biased because I say that. Yeah, so maybe you want to give a little bit of background to people listening about, you know, your practice, the areas you practice in, your experience, and then we'll get into all the employment stuff. Okay?
Okay, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Mitch, for this opportunity to talk about these issues, which I know are really, really, you know, at the forefront right now for everybody, particularly, well, both employers and employees, and that's who I represent.
Sure.
You know, I like to say that we get employers and employees to stop fighting so everyone can get back to business. I'm Alex Rubin, Rubin Employment Law. We're in Fairfield, New Jersey, but we also practice in New York and Pennsylvania. Our goal is always to resolve the dispute before it gets worse, before it blows up into litigation, although we do handle litigation as well. So that's basically what I do.
Fortunately, it does sometimes work in the litigation.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so why don't we start then with the employer side of it? Like, if I'm a small business owner and I have 20, 50, 100 employees and I had to furlough them or lay them off or whatever, what kind of issues am I facing, you know, especially given this very odd situation we've really never had in our lifetime?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one of the questions that comes up, it's funny because that was actually on my list. And then I thought, oh, maybe people won't want to hear that. But
no,
I'm going to talk about this. To furlough or not to furlough? Do you furlough or do you lay off? And what's the difference? Obviously, furlough is for your best employees who you want as an employer. You want them to come back.
Yeah, it's like a temporary layoff.
It's a temp, exactly, and it's no, it's not a problem for them. In the past, you know, under quote unquote normal circumstances, you know, you furlough somebody, they're not entitled to unemployment because they have a job to come back to. But now, people, anyone who's been furloughed due to COVID is entitled to collect unemployment during the time period when they don't, you know, when they're not working and not getting paid by the
employer. So you're saying in the past, before this whole thing, if they would furlough a worker, they would keep paying the worker or no?
No, they wouldn't keep paying them.
But still couldn't apply for unemployment?
Yeah, I don't think so. It was a little iffy. Like the worker could have been out of luck. Whereas now it would almost be like, why are you doing this to me? Just lay me off and then hire me back later, right?
Well, I know one of the advantages of furloughing employees is that they can keep them on benefits.
That's another advantage. Yeah. Absolutely, which you couldn't do that before. And that's actually up to the insurance carriers. The insurance carriers have said up to, you know, and they're limiting it. Some said, I think Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of them said 60 days from a particular date in March, I think in March 25th, right, something like that. I think they may be extending that. They may not, but they're, yeah.
Get a couple of months where you could stay on the plan.
And also as a small employer, you don't get penalized for not having enough employees on your health.
Right. They would count them.
They would count them. Exactly. So furloughed is actually a good place for people to be as an employee.
Right.
But again, look, if there's somebody in your, you know, one of your employees who, or more, who you really were thinking about getting rid of them anyway, you really don't want them to come back after all this is over. Well, then you just lay them off, use that as the excuse, so to speak.
Yeah, let them get unemployment. They can go on COBRA, I guess, right?
And they could go on COBRA. Maybe you give them severance. Maybe you don't in this climate, depending on the situation. Right. If they're in a protected category or not, and turn around and sue you. But, you know, everybody's got the perfect excuse. Every employer has the perfect excuse right now. So.
Yeah, if they're forced by the government. It's not like they're
saying. If they're not doing, you know, unless it's a healthcare facility, right? If they're not doing a lot of business or doing, you know, not doing any business or doing less business.
Right. So as an employer, what is my exposure? If I have employees, I got to lay them off a furlough. Do I have any exposure? Am I completely immune?
Nobody's ever completely immune.
Right. Of course.
Like, you know, until
that was a setup question.
Yes, it was. Right. And as, of course, the phrase immune these days has all kinds of meanings. But look, you could always get sued, right? Whether the suit is viable is another story.
Right.
Our employees, look, right now, especially low-wage earners are in a really good position if they get laid off or furloughed.
Yeah, they make more money.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a problem because they may not want to come back to work if they're making, you know, for the 4 months that they're getting that $600 supplement from the
benefits.
Are they going to want to come back and make less money, have to work and make less money working than they are staying home? It is crazy. But the other side of it as well is, isn't it better? Because that is going to run out eventually. Right now it's up to 39 weeks, but it's only 4 months for with the supplement. The $600 supplement.
So 39 weeks is unemployment, and then the $600 supplement. Is that $600 a month or $600 a week?
A week.
Oh, wow. So it's another $2,400 a month.
Yes, exactly.
Or more, depending on the month. Okay.
So let's say, like, somebody who makes around, because I've done the math for people, somebody who makes around $65,000 a year would, with the supplement, would get the maximum, and I'm talking about New Jersey.
Right.
New Jersey, the maximum now is, I thought it was 667, but then I saw somewhere else it was 713, but whatever it is, you're getting over $1,000 a week. You're not quite getting your full, you know, the full 65, but, you know, close to it. But then there are lower wage earners who, okay, they may not get the maximum, but you add the 600 onto it a week, they could be making more than what they normally make in a week.
Right.
By working. And so, you know, the issue is, as an employer, well, you know, look, maybe you're going to have to give people some incentive to come back. Maybe. Or is the fact that, look, you're going to have a job now. This, you know, no guarantees, but wouldn't you rather have a job than have the uncertainty of not having a job, having to go out and look for something else just to collect this additional money for another 4 months?
Right.
So
exactly.
People really need to not look at the short term.
Right. Now, if you're self-employed, are you familiar with some of those rules? Because I've been trying to, I'm self-employed. I've been trying to wade through them and figure them out.
Yeah, it's a little,
Figure out that you're not entitled to state unemployment. You get denied for that immediately.
Really? Because there's a new federal program out there.
You get the 600.
Okay,
you get $600. But I'm pretty sure. I mean, you can't earn any money, right? So if let's say you know I'm a self-employed person, I do a will for $1,000. Am I then not eligible for that week? Or
probably not for that week.
Right.
Yeah. You just, but that's just that week that you did that. So
right.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, and I don't know that Department of Labor is really clear how they're handling the independent contractors.
Right.
My understanding was that if you're making significantly less than what you normally do, and it falls below what unemployment would pay you, then you can collect at least partial unemployment
from the state.
I think from the state too. The way it used to work with the state was if you worked less than 32 hours a week. So there's
right.
that too. And I don't know if they're still looking at the hours.
I don't think they asked me the hours.
Less than 32 hours and less than whatever the maximum is. Let's say it's 713, right? Forget the 600 supplement. Let's
right.
say 713 in New Jersey, if that's the max. They actually always did like a small percentage, upped it a little bit. And it does go up in July. July 1st, it goes up to, I think it's 884, something like that,
right.
Which, believe it or not, is more than New York. New York is only 504 is the maximum.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's more expensive living in New York. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Right. So as long as you're making less than what the maximum you would get on unemployment and you're
right.
working less than 32 hours a week, you get partial.
From the state.
And the New Jersey Department of Labor actually put out a fact sheet for self-employed New Jersey workers. And,
okay.
and yeah, they put out frequently asked questions. And it says here, so there's this new thing called P as in pandemic, UA.
So you'll send me the link after we talk. I'll put it in the
show notes. Absolutely. I will. I'll just send you the document. Yeah
that's fine.
Pandemic unemployment assistance. And
right.
it says, you can receive that as an independent contractor.
Right. I thought that's the 600 though, isn't it?
No.
Oh, this is additional?
It's the same amount as regular unemployment, which is 60% of your average weekly salary up to a maximum of 713 per week, up
right.
to a total of 39 weeks. And
okay.
then it uses tax returns to show, you know, wages that were reported. But you have to certify that you've been affected, right?
Yeah, you got to go weekly. I think I just got an email that I had to certify and I screwed it up. I missed the time window this morning or something. And then each week you certify, did you make money this week or not? So if I didn't
right.
make money, I got to look at my calendar because it goes backward, right?
Yeah, if you made money, you don't get it. If you don't, you do, or you get partial, right? But you do have to certify that due to COVID, I'm making less money.
Right.
Or not any this week due to COVID, right?
Because
my business is down. It's retroactive to the weekend.
And I don't think the supplements kicked in for a lot of self-employed people.
Yeah, you're also eligible for the $600 per week supplement. It's all taxable, but,
still. So is your regular income.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just looking, where it says something that you will have to certify that you're unemployed, partially unemployed, or unable or unavailable to work for any, and there's a list of coronavirus-related reasons.
Well, I have to figure out what the next window is. It was like 11 o'clock this morning, so I got to figure out the next window to certify. I don't know.
It'll probably be next week.
Yeah, sometime. And I think it's Thursday. I think it was Tuesday and Thursday. I don't have to look. I think I have another opportunity to do it this week. But either way, if I do it next week, it just goes back, and then they'll give me some money.
Yeah, and it might be a while till you start getting the checks.
Yeah. You know what they did? They sent us a debit card. And it's empty, and then they fill it with money. I don't know if I have to go buy things or I can make a deposit in my bank account. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing.
Go to the grocery store, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you can deposit those. Yeah,
you can. My wife got one. My sister got one. They all got declined for state, and then you got to recertify. It's nuts.
It's been a little crazy because the law has changed so quickly that
right.
the state didn't have everything set up properly on their website initially. I think now it's starting to come through. I know that people are starting to get that extra $600.
Oh, they are starting to?
Yeah. I've heard people who've been getting it. Yeah.
All right. Good. So
it's coming through. Look, bottom line is you always apply, you know?
Right. Yeah.
As long as you're not doing it fraudulently, as long as
you just want to report it correctly. The last thing you want to do is steal money from the government.
Right, exactly. Then you just have to pay it back with interest and penalty.
Of course. All right, so let's talk about employees then, since we're like self-employed or kind of in between. You're the employee and the employer.
Yeah. So, employees, if you can work from home, then you're working and you're getting paid.
Yeah, right? No unemployment. But are there still protected classes of employees in this circumstance? I mean,
there could be. So basically, the Families First Coronavirus Protection Act, and I can send you that notice, that poster as well. So there are six reasons that there's new types of leave benefits to your employer. If your employer has 500 or less employees, or less than 500 employees, is required to give you, and it's not a healthcare facility, and it's not.
But there's exclusion. Certain facilities are excluded.
There's some exclusions. Mostly, it's healthcare facilities, but
right.
Or anybody who does business for a healthcare facility.
Essential, right? Okay.
Any essential business. I don't think supermarkets are included in that, but I'm not sure. But anyway, so there are six reasons that you would qualify for benefits, and there are two types of benefits. There's the 80 hours of sick leave, and then there's an additional, it's 12 weeks, but it's really only 10 because the first 2 weeks are unpaid unless you get the 80 hours of sick leave, which is about, normally 2 weeks. Okay. So it's another 10 weeks of family leave. So the sick leave is 100% of your salary. The family leave is only 2/3 of your salary.
So, but who's paying that? The employer? Is that government money?
The employer pays it.
Okay.
But the employer gets a payroll tax credit for it. Although I will tell you, my personal experience with this has been, I thought you got it right away. Like when you do your payroll, you don't deduct.
The credit, you mean?
Right. The credit for it. It's supposed to be dollar for dollar. Well, as it turns out, my payroll company's not doing it that way. I'll get it after the next quarter.
So it's a lagging in a quarter.
It's lagging, yeah.
So you're saying you get a credit where you have to pay them against your payroll taxes?
So for example, I did with one of my employees, it was only one day a week because she was reducing her hours. Because she had to care for children at home.
Right.
That's one of the criteria that you actually get both. You get the emergency sick time and you get the emergency family time for both.
Okay.
But it's only 2/3, but I continue to pay her full salary and had her take paid, her vacation time. So I get to count up to $200 a day of her wages. I get a tax credit for that, a payroll tax credit for that.
So basically you'd have to pay the payroll taxes this quarter quarter.
Yeah, next
you get a dollar for dollar credit.
Honestly, I really don't, and my bookkeeper didn't. We didn't understand what the payroll company did, but they did at like maybe 10. They gave me like 10% discount or something on my payroll tax right away, and then I get the rest later.
Right. But so you don't get a deduction of the wages you paid. You get a deduction of the payroll tax you paid.
Correct.
That saves you. It doesn't save you much. Come out of pocket.
Well, it keeps you, as an employer, it keeps you even because you're paying this extra money for people who aren't working and you're getting that back it is supposed to be dollar for dollar. So you're getting it back as a credit.
Yeah, because maybe you can't afford to, these people didn't work. Well, if you laid them off, do you still have to pay that? No.
It's only if you have work for them.
Right. So they're working, but they saying, listen, Alex, I can't work for the next 80 hours because I got to tend for my parents. They're sick.
Right.
You got to pay them for the 80 hours.
Correct. Well, actually, they don't get the 80 hours. They don't get it to care for their parents.
Oh, there's a limit on what you can take it off
for? Yeah. So there are six categories. The first three has to do with the employee's own health condition.
Okay.
They're quarantined. Or in isolation, because the federal, state, or local authority said you have to stay home because either you're sick or you were in contact with people who were sick.
Got
let's say someone just coming off a cruise ship, right?
You got to stay home for 14 days.
You got to stay home. That's not a stay-at-home order. A stay-at-home order doesn't qualify for that.
Right.
Because
stay-at-home means you could go for a walk and you can walk around your house and you're not separated from your family.
Right.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two, if you've been advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine, Number three is if you're experiencing symptoms and you're seeking a medical diagnosis. So you don't actually have to be diagnosed with COVID. As long as you have symptoms and you're seeking medical diagnosis, then so those three, you get 100% of your pay for 80 hours.
Okay. 2 weeks, basically.
2 weeks, right. And that's over and above New Jersey sick leave. So you could actually first take your New Jersey sick leave and then, well, you know, it could be, I think with sick leave, you can't force an employee to do both, to do it, you know, concurrently. So you could have 40 hours of New Jersey sick leave plus another 80 of this federal.
Now, what if an employer can't afford that? They got to lay you off?
Then they let, yeah, I guess.
Can you do that? If you say, listen, I got COVID, I'm sick. I got to be home for 2 weeks. And then he goes, well, you're fired. I mean, can you be sued for that?
Yeah, you could be.
There you go.
Disability. Right. You know, look, except where there's been an exception made and the law has been amended because of COVID, all the employment laws still apply.
Yeah, so you can't fire someone just because they're sick.
Exactly.
A disability.
You can't deny them their sick leave that they're entitled to. And now it's been expanded.
Right.
So the last three categories are 4, 5, and 6 are really if you're caring for somebody else who's sick.
Okay, I see.
So, and or your children who are home from school and you have to be there and there's no one else to take care of them. And there's actually documentation employees now have to provide that says, you know, what the name of the school, when they closed, when they're going to reopen, the names of the children or child.
But so you said elderly parents are excluded from that list.
Well, no, elderly parents, if they are sick and you have to care for them, that qualifies. That counts, but they have to be sick. Okay. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
So, and again, that's, you know, but that's, you only get 2/3 pay for that.
Right.
You'll get the 80 hours and then another 12
That's
weeks.
The minimum, meaning an employer could pay you 100% of your pay, but he's going to pay at least 2/3.
Yeah. And what an employer could do, which is what I did, was you can have vacation time run concurrently. So they're taking, and that makes up the difference.
Right.
Assuming
an employer could afford that. I mean, maybe their business is half running and people aren't working and then you got to pay for everything. What happens if everybody goes out on sick leave? Then what do? You're out of business.
And then you're out of business, yeah.
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 It's problematic. I was telling you before we were on the phone, before we jumped on Zoom, that somebody had called me and his girlfriend or wife or whatever was a healthcare worker, but I don't think she's working on the front lines. And her hours got cut because she's not a frontline worker or whatever. I guess they needed to move resources around. And she wanted to know if she had an action against the hospital for cutting her hours back. And I can't imagine this situation that they're basically immune, right? They got to do whatever they got to do.
Look, even under normal circumstances, employers can make those kinds of decisions about restructuring. You know, that's within the, and unless she can show, well, you did this because I'm black, you know, I'm black, white, brown, and everything.
They kept all the white people and they fired the black, they cut the black people back.
Right. Or because I'm sick, right? Or because I complained about, you know, not insufficient PPE, you know, protective, you know, personal protective.
Right, and they use it as, what do they call that?
Whistleblower.
You're right.
Yeah. Right.
Retaliation
for blowing the whistle, unless you can show something like that. And so, look, in that situation, all the normal laws still apply.
Right.
You know, the one thing that's changed, and this is getting to... I may be jumping ahead here, but when we do go
you can do it any way you want.
Okay. Well, when we do go back to work, right? What's going to be, you know, what are we going to, you know, what are employees have to do? What do employers have to do? Do employees have to buy their own face masks and wear their own, you know, or is the employer going
to? It's a good point, right? Do they have to? Yeah. So you're telling your employees, all right, there's no more stay at home order. You have to come back to work or we're going to replace you with somebody. Do they have to provide their own mask? Or do they, what happens if they're afraid? I guess if you're afraid, you're going to lose your job.
Well, right now, at least in New Jersey, the governor, you know, and the legislature said, no, if an employee is afraid to go to work, they can collect unemployment. It's not like they quit. They can quit. You know, it's not normally when you quit, you don't get unemployment.
Right.
You know, if they're afraid to go to work, they can collect unemployment, and they may even be able to get, you know, take paid sick leave under New Jersey law. Not the extra 80 hours.
Right.
That doesn't fall into one of those federal categories. But
if they're scared and then they take unemployment, the employer doesn't have to pay them.
No.
They're off the hook.
No. They abandon their job. Yeah, they're gone. They're not working. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
They quit their job, but it's considered being fired.
Although, yeah, there was something about,
what a mess or something.
About, it is a mess. You said it. It is a mess. There was something about sick leave or temporary disability leave. Well, temporary disability leave is not on the employer. That's on the state.
Right.
But I'm just thinking,
so temporary, you mean short-term disability? You can file for short-term disability? If you have
Yes, you can.
But not because you're afraid. You actually have to be diagnosed.
Well, I will tell, okay, let's see. Paid sick leave covers employees of companies that the governor's ordered to close. It covers people who refuse to go to work at a business that stays open in defiance of an order to close. So let's say there's a non-essential retail business that still is still open.
Yeah, well, they're defying the order.
They're defying the order. And
right,
then,
okay, that makes sense.
And then, but then there's an employee at an essential retail business who decides to stay home and comply with social distancing. Well, you know, okay, so a grocery store clerk, right? Doesn't want to be, you know, with all those people.
Elderly parents at home, and he's got young kids, and he's like, I'm not bringing this home.
So that, for that, the employer would have to pay at least whatever portion of the 40 hours of state sick leave that they'd earned, exhausted. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd have to pay that, and then they could, you know, go on unemployment.
This is why I don't have employees.
Yeah, I hear you. Which, by the way, I'm looking for an associate.
You're looking for you need another lawyer?
Actually, my other lawyer left.
Colleen left?
Yeah, Maureen, yeah.
Maureen, right.
Maureen left.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
All right, well, anybody listening, looking for a job, they're a good employment law attorney. Call Alex. Call me. I'll put you in touch with Alex.
Yeah, thank you.
Because it's funny. So I was talking to another one of our colleagues, I forget who it was the other day. There's some areas of the law that are going to get real busy. Employment law, bankruptcy law, you know, some of the areas. And there's other, and I hope business law too. Maybe estates and trusts. But there's going to be some areas that are really dead for a while. You know, plaintiffs' cases and things like that.
I will say, I think people are thinking about updating their wills right now. You know?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Workers' comp, I bet you it's going to go up. People are going to be filing workers' comp claims.
And business law, businesses need to know what to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
You know, what are we going to have to mark out, you know, like in the supermarkets they do now, you know, six feet of, you know, distance, you know, between, you know, rearrange all the desks.
I think there's two sides to that, right? There's the employee side where you handle it. What do they have to do to protect their employees, and what are they liable for if they don't do it properly? Because I think there's very loose state guidelines, right? They really haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all the stripes in the supermarkets, I'm assuming there's no like booklet that the state put out about where to put the markers. They're just measuring it out and putting up these plexiglass things. And then there's the other side. How liable can you be as an employer if you don't do proper things and your customers get sick? Can they have an action against you for failure to?
I think
it's going to be.
With employees, it's going to be a workers' comp case. And I think that comp is going to cover it.
But then the question is, but isn't there an element of liability to the employer if they didn't, if you don't have a safe work environment, like OSHA can get involved, things like that. So if you don't comply properly.
Well, like any workers' comp case, which I'm sure you know, if it's intentional, you'd have to prove intent. If it's negligence, so the difference between negligence, you know, did we just I don't know.
Yeah, right. So you make it 2 feet, they got to stand apart. You don't separate them enough. That's obvious. But if it's 5 feet, you know, 11 inches because they measured it wrong, that's probably negligent, not intentional.
Exactly. That's a good example. Or if you just said, hey, the heck with it. I don't care. I'm not going to do anything that the CDC recommends.
Right. Then you get a whistleblower probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are probably some businesses where they have to do split shifts because people can't be separated. You know, there'd be too many people on the line. I know a guy who's in food service and he delivers, ironically enough, he had an $80 million business and most of their business was food service to universities. like University Cafeterias up and down the East Coast, his business must be
in the
toilet.
It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're a lot of them aren't even opening in the fall.
You know, and the only thing he can do is pivot and do takeout for the local community.
I guess he can start. Yeah, but I don't even know if he can. If you're in the wholesale business, can you sell retail? I guess you can. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of sandwiches you got to deliver. It was mostly sandwiches, like gourmet stuff, fresh stuff delivered that day. Mm. It was a whole logistical company. So I can't imagine that that's going to help him. But I would think that any of the, you know, the businesses that have to deal with these changes, I mean, I don't know. It's going to, I was talking to somebody the other day about restaurants and matter of fact, just before our call. So I think, you know, a lot of restaurants, even though they're good restaurants, they don't get people rich. And, you know, it pays their bills. It's more of a lifestyle business and they pay their bills and they pay their employees and there's not a lot left over, maybe some, but
they work on very thin margins. Yeah.
Thin margins. Right now the margin's going to be even thinner, right? Because it's going to be more. And then there's going to be some people that say, you know what, for me to go back into this business, to spend 60 to 90 days rebuilding my inventory, probably putting some money in, hiring people, blah, blah, blah. It's not worth it to me. I might as well go find something else to do. And I think it's going to be a lot of restaurants that don't reopen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing a thing. If you want to attend on Friday, there's a networking event, Switch Events. And I'm like the keynote speaker. We're going to talk about investing in local businesses, like almost like private equity, but on the small, you know, nobody thinks about, well, so if their friend owns a restaurant, maybe there's a deal they can make where you have money. He's got the restaurant. He needs money. He can't borrow enough, but he's got a good concept. You can help him get reopened, own 30% of the business. Maybe he buys you out in 5 or 7 years.
Right.
I don't know, so we're going to talk about it. Yeah, because there's not enough money to borrow. You're a bank. Without the bank, the government's backing, you're not going to lend a business that's closed money to get restarted. The risk is too high.
Right. Unless you're qualified for the, well, we'll see if they come through. If the next tranche of money actually does, you know, get distributed, the Paycheck Protection Loan.
Yeah, that was supposed to come out Monday, right? What happened?
It apparently
stalled, right?
There's a boondoggle at the SBA right now. They got flooded with applications Monday morning.
Right. And the whole, saw that the whole website crashed, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I actually applied for one of those, but you know.
I applied for one of them too. I missed the last wave. I ran out of money. Mm-hmm. They told me last week, oh, it's all, you know, we have all your documentation. It opens up Monday. And then you see that where.
Yeah. Crashed. Yeah. Although something that, you know, employers need to be careful about, and that is, you know, if you applied for that loan and you want to get it forgiven, granted, it's one, assuming you get it,
right.
and it is only 1% interest and you have, you know,
it's not a terrible loan. Yeah.
Not a terrible loan, but if you do want to get it forgiven, don't lay off your people, you know.
Right. Because you need people to pay, right? Then you got to hire these people back. And no, I think that would that work? No, it works if you, doesn't have to be the same employees.
You know, there's a catch 22 because you have till June 30th to maintain or, you know, bring back the same headcount. The problem is they start counting 8 weeks after you get the money. It's those 8 weeks that you have to show that you spent it on payroll, 75% on payroll and benefits and then payroll tax. And then the rest, 25% can be rent and utilities and mortgage and whatever.
Right.
So that's a little bit of a catch 22. You have to have them.
If we could get stuck, they only spend 60% of it. Now it's a loan, which, like I said, not the end of the world.
Not a terrible loan.
Still helping people. What is it, like a 30-year payout at very low interest rate?
No, this one is 2 years. It's a two-year.
Oh, that's it? It's only a two-year loan?
2.5, because you get a six-month grace period, and then you have to start paying it back after 6 months, and you have 2 years. Yeah, the 30-year is the EIDL loan.
Oh, the disaster loan?
Disaster one.
Yeah, I didn't get any of that money. I think I got $1,000.
Oh, okay.
Gets $1,000.
That you don't have to give back.
Yeah, that you don't have to give back. And they, I think I ran out of money real quick.
Yeah, they did. They did. Yeah, that was crazy. But yeah, it's so that there's that. And there's if you're, you can't double dip, like as an employer, we were talking earlier about the payroll tax credit for paying people who are on leave. On the, you know, under the new federal law, you can't get that payroll tax credit and forgiveness on the loan. It's like you can't double dip with that.
Meaning, so if you took the money on the PPP and you paid your employees using the money, you don't also get a tax credit because they were out under the Leave Act.
Right. If you want to count that money toward, like that you paid them toward forgiveness, you can't count it for that and get the credit. Right. You can't.
That makes sense. It wasn't even your money.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah.
We want the other, yeah.
Yeah, so. No, that's not a hardship. The hardship is when they pay. They got to pay them, come out of pocket. And
you don't have the money to do that because you're, right, yeah.
Now, how does any of this apply to, like, your restaurant? So you have hourly workers. There, a lot of them are part-time. They're doing different shifts. Does any of this apply to them, or are they just, like, shit out of luck? So you think, well, we're on a podcast. We can curse, but.
So, okay.
So are they just SOL?
Who are you talking about?
Like waiters and waitresses, for example. Okay. Do they qualify for any of this stuff?
Listen, if their hours are reduced enough, they qualify for unemployment. If they're laid off, yeah, they qualify for unemployment for sure. For sure.
And do they get the sick leave and all that stuff, the extra 80 hours?
They will get, if they're still working and they can't work because of one of those six reasons, they get either the sick leave or the family leave.
Right. Yeah. But a lot of them have been laid off already at that point.
Yeah, right? If they're laid off, they're laid off. Then they just get unemployment. But they're probably the lucky ones in that.
The 600, yeah.
Extra $600 a week goes a long way for a restaurant worker.
It's a lot more than they're making.
I mean, it depends on how much they make in tips, because obviously they're not getting the tips.
Yeah, but at 600, how much could you? I mean, I guess unless you're working every day, 8-10 hour shifts, you'd collapse. Yeah, how could you be making, you know, the unemployment? Well, you said New York's 500, so it'd be like 1,100 a week in New York, and New Jersey would be like 1,200 to 1,300. No,
1,200 to 1,300. Yeah, be the max.
You can't make that work in a restaurant.
No. Now, then again, they might not get the maximum because their salary's not at that level.
Right.
Two-thirds.
Oh, right. Yeah, your prior pay.
Yeah, so two-thirds plus the 600. Yeah.
Okay, so. Well, you'll send me the links, so we'll put all in the show notes, all the resources, if anybody has any questions, and we'll put if people have questions for you, they can send you an email, Ask Alex.
Yeah.
AskAlex.com, and then they can go.
Great.
And ask you this.
A-L-I-X.
Yeah, I mean, there's always issues that come up every day with people that are just not thinking about things, and they get a question, can I do this? Am I entitled to this? What if I fire this person, you know?
I had somebody who, I didn't actually, I don't represent him. I just had my assistant just tell him, go fix it. Because he filed for unemployment he had two jobs, one part-time, and he got laid off of the one part-time job, but he still has this other job.
Yeah, how can you file for unemployment?
Plenty of money, and he filed, and then he kind of realized, like, oh, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I'm like, no, you shouldn't have done that. You're going to have to pay the money back. You know, just go and fess up. And
right. Now, if he lost his full-time job and his part-time job made him reduce his income, he might be able to get a partial.
He might, if he worked less than 32 hours a week and it was less than the max,
Right.
Or less than what he would have otherwise gotten.
People are not, they don't think straight sometimes.
People don't think straight. Yeah, exactly. But at least he realized that, oops, maybe I made a mistake. He was nervous. He was like, are they going to come after me? Are they going to, send the police after me? I'm like, not
the police, but yeah, but that's like, sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Not in this case.
No, not in this case. No. Very quickly. Yeah. We just told him very quickly, ask for forgiveness, and then I'll pay it back.
Right. He did get the money, and then he realized, oops.
Got some money. So, and then he realized, oh, wait a minute, I'm working this other job. I shouldn't be getting this.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So,
if you like our podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at beinlaw33@gmail.com. That's beinlaw33@gmail.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur has been written, directed, and produced by Mitchell Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about Mitchell and his practice, you can find him on social media or visit his website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.